So as you were getting in the groove of saying that's good, and then realized that that wasn't really what God said after creating people, what did God say after creating humanity? I said, that's very good. Yes, text changes from good to very good. Genesis begins, we've been studying Genesis. Genesis begins with God creating and blessing humanity. And Genesis ends with a father blessing his children. In the beginning, it says God said, let us make humankind in our image to be like us. So humankind was created as God's reflection. In the divine image, God created them, female and male. God made them, and God blessed them. Interestingly, not just people are blessed by God, but a day is blessed by God. It goes on to say that God blessed the seventh day, the Sabbath, and called it sacred because he got to take a break. God took a break and rested from the hard work of creation. At the end of Genesis, a father is blessing his children and blesses two of them in particular that are going to be leaders of tribes. And it says in Genesis 48, so Israel blessed them that day, saying, when a blessing is spoken in Israel, when a blessing is spoken, people will use your name, saying, may God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. Then Israel goes on and blesses all 12 of his sons who will lead tribes. You know, the Bible teaches us that there are many kinds of prayer. Thanksgivings, laments, prayers for deliverance, confessing our sins, recounting the mighty works of God, the history of God's acts, intercession for ourselves and for others, and another type of prayer, the type of prayer called blessing. And blessing is the prayer I want us to look at today. In the Hebrew Bible, the term for blessing occurs over 600 times. I think that means that there's something here worth paying attention to. Some say the art of good preaching is threefold. First, to tell your listeners what you're going to tell them. Second, to tell them. And third, to tell them what you've told them. Since I'm a good preacher, I'm going to follow that guidance and tell you what I'm going to tell you. And what I'm going to tell you is the act of blessing is significant. It means something. It's more than religious ritual. It's more than just words spoken into the air. The act of blessing itself is significant. Secondly, the reason it's significant is because the act of blessing connects us and connects those that we bless, connects to God in a very deep way and in a way that changes what happens after the blessing. In other words, it affects the outcome in any situation. The third thing that I want to tell you is that the act of blessing draws upon or is intertwined, connected with language itself. Part of reflecting God, part of being God's reflection, God created with words, let light be, let animals be. And part of being in God's image is that our language, our words, are creative, are important, are powerful, and are one of the things that God uses to connect people to God, just as Alice just shared with us, to share with a human being that love casts out fear. That's both in the image of God, and that's also the words of God spoken, and God dwells in those words and acts to change the outcome for Mr. Giggles in ways he may never understand. So the act of blessing is built, connected to language, and therefore, it's connected to poetry, to images, to lyrics of songs, to prayers of blessing. And it's in that language that the power, God has the power to inspire, to comfort, and to transform us. So let's look at point number one. Blessing, the act of blessing, is significant. It's important. It matters. It's not empty or vain. We could look at many instances to see that the people in the Old Testament took blessing very, very seriously. Perhaps none of these stories in the Old Testament is more poignant than the story of Jacob and Esau. You remember when we had teaching on that, and Jacob actually tricks his father by masquerading himself and stealing the blessing from Esau. So Jacob has already received his father's blessing in a tricky, underhanded way. And Esau comes back fully expecting to receive from his father a blessing that will impact and change his life. When he comes in and talks to his father, and Isaac begins to realize what's going on, the scriptures tell us that Isaac began to tremble uncontrollably. And he said, "Who just served me the wild game? I've already eaten it, and I blessed him before you came." And yes, that blessing must stand. Something so real that it must stand. Now, when Esau heard his father's words, he let out a loud and bitter cry, "Oh, my father, what about me? Bless me too," he begged. "But Isaac said, 'Your brother was here and he tricked me. He has taken away your blessing.'" And Esau exclaimed, "No wonder his name is Tricky, for now he has cheated me twice. First he took my rights as a firstborn, and now he has stolen my blessing. Oh, father, haven't you saved even one blessing for me?" So Isaac said to Esau, "I have made Jacob your master and have declared that all his brothers will be his servants. I have guaranteed him an abundance of grain and wine." Blessing matters. Blessing results in something. "What's left for me to give you, my son?" But Esau pleaded, "But do you have only one blessing, father? Oh, my father, bless me too." And then Esau broke down and wept. Quite a number of years ago, I read a book written by John Trent and Gary Smalley, a book entitled The Blessing, in which they argue that part of the importance of family and part of the role of parents is to impart a blessing to their children that will affect the outcome of those children's life forever. That learning to actively bless our children and to give a blessing so that children emerge from a family feeling that they have received the father and mother's blessing is one of the most important things that can happen to children. I remember talking with a member of the congregation who was on his second PhD and entering medical school. And I said, "You know, what's all this about?" He thought for a minute and he said to me, "Well, I guess I'm still trying to get the approval of my parents. I'm still trying to get that original blessing. Maybe one more degree and I'll get it." Made me think about my own life. And part of the reason that this book, which you can actually get on Amazon for like $2 now, The Blessing by John Trent and Gary Smalley, made me think about my own life and about did I get that family blessing or not. And I had to realize that I got the family criticism. I got the family judgment. I got the family anger. But I'm not sure I got the family blessing. Now, Trent and Smalley go on to talk about what happens to those of us who didn't get the family blessing and how actually God can step in and the church can step in and our brothers and sisters can help us receive that blessing, which can affect our life. But it's a fascinating approach to both the power of blessing and the fact that it has an impact. You think it didn't have an impact on the family of Jacob and Esau? Does it not have an impact when there's one child in our family that gets the blessing and we don't? or vice versa. Another example of how significantly blessing was taken occurs not in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. And Jesus is carrying on probably the most important work that's ever happened. In the midst of that, mothers come up and they bring their babies and they say, take our babies in your arms and bless them, Jesus. And the disciples are appalled. They say, Jesus, we're doing such important work. We're doing such significant things. You can't take time out to bless children. But Jesus seizes the teaching moment and both takes the babies in his arms and blesses them and then goes on to talk about what the kingdom of heaven is really like. Once again, showing us that the act of blessing, the physical touch, the words, do you think that changed those children's lives? I like to think so. I like to think when they grew up, they would have a very strong, visceral memory of the man that took them in his arms and blessed them in a way that they surely felt some deep connection to love, to life. The power of blessing, point two, the power of blessing is that it connects us, it can connect us to God in a way that changes us, that changes what happens, that changes how we look at things, that changes how we respond. Take something as simple as what we call saying grace or blessing before a meal, or if you're from a different tradition, a blessing at the end of the meal. A meal which begins and sometimes ends with a connection with God in genuine gratitude, a connection with those that we're eating with in love and grace, kindness. That kind of meal is good eating. That kind of connection to the very source of life and the goodness and the gifts of food and fellowship, companionship, can surprise us with what even the simple act of eating can become. In a minute, Barbara's going to talk further about how blessing can connect us with God and change us, change outcomes. But the thing I really wanted to talk about in point three, because it's so intriguing to me, is one of the things that makes blessing so interesting is that it goes beyond a simple formula. It's not just bless you, bless me, or God bless you, God bless me, or Gesundheit, or whatever. But it's that blessing reflects that we reflect God. And what it reflects is it reflects language. God says, let light be. And we can say, let blessing be in that same kind of creative way, but with in ways that draw on the deepest part of our humanity. So I'm going to give you some examples. We've been looking at Genesis. So let's look at Israel's blessing of his son Joseph, because it's such a great illustration of language and image and how blessing is fun, if nothing else. So here's Israel's blessing for Joseph, and you can just imagine for a minute that your father's blessing you like this. Joseph is the foal of a wild donkey, the foal of a wild donkey at a spring. One of the wild donkeys on the ridge. Archers attacked him savagely. They shot at him and harassed him, but his bow remained taut, and his arms were strengthened. Strengthened by the hands of the mighty one of Jacob, by the shepherd of the rock of Israel. May the God of your father bless you. May the Almighty bless you with the blessings of the heavens above and the blessings of the watery depths below, and the blessings of the breasts and the womb. May the blessings of your father surpass the blessings of the ancient mountains, reaching to the heights of the eternal hills. May these blessings rest on your head, Joseph. You are a prince among your brothers. That's pretty cool, huh? It's a pretty good blessing. I wouldn't mind a blessing like that from my father or from my mother or from my pastor or from any of you. Here's another example, one that might be a little closer to us. This is from Psalm 121. We know that Jesus prayed the Psalms called the Great Ascent, the Psalms of Ascent, that at the Passover, this is one of the prayers that Jesus would have prayed. I lift my eyes to the mountains. From where will my help come? My help comes from Yahweh, who made heaven and earth. Yahweh won't let our footsteps slip. Our guardian never sleeps. The guardian of Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. For Yahweh is our guardian. Yahweh is our shade. With God by our side, the sun cannot overpower us by day, nor the moon at night. Yahweh guards us from harm, guards our lives. Yahweh guards our leaving and our coming back, both now and forever. We sing that. Right? We sing, I lift my eyes up unto the mountains. Where does my help come from? Maker of heaven, you know the song I'm talking about? We take those words and we sing them in a way to connect with God, to connect with the blessing of the one who never slumbers, who never sleeps, who guards our steps. Now, in blessing, one might say, may God help you. Instead of looking at the valley of your pit of despair, lift your eyes up to the mountains. Lift your eyes up to the one who created the starry sky and this beautiful earth. May you remember that you may sleep, but God's not sleeping. And so through language, through words, and in fact, language is so important in the act of blessing that when God raises up priests, he actually writes a prayer of blessing for them. And so in Numbers 6, 22 through 27, we have this. Yahweh spoke to Moses, and he said, Moses, speak to Aaron and to his sons, that is to the priests, the priestly caste, the people who are going to be the priests. Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, now this is how you shall bless the children of Israel. Here are the words you will tell them. You probably know this. May Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yahweh lift up his face toward you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Isn't that fascinating? God says, you say these words, and I will act. You pray this blessing on others, and I'll be right there to bless them. So at this point, I'm going to invite Barbara up to talk a little bit about what that has looked like for her.
So I need to give a little context for this, why Jim asked me to add to this teaching on blessing. It's really more of a testimony. Over the years, I have, as probably all of you have, utilized resources to help me to pray and to connect with God. Several years ago, and I don't even remember how I came across it, I have found a little green book by William John Fitzgerald called Celtic Prayer Book. And it's kind of a cool book. It has morning, noon, and evening prayers for each day of the week. Every Sunday, it's the same, every Monday. And there are blessings in that. There are scriptures and meditative exercises. What I found was that as I started using that book, that I started thinking just a little bit differently and relating just a little bit differently to God. The Celtic approach to God I found to be kind of a kinder, gentler approach than what I had experienced in my evangelical church growing up. Fitzgerald observes that the Celts, pagan or Christian, had a deep sense of enchantment with the beauty and mystery all around them. Celtic prayer very often starts with taking pleasure in original blessing rather than lamenting original sin. That's what you heard in the creation story, right? God observing. That's good. It's what we sang in the songs, "For the beauty of the earth," I love that line, "for the love which from our birth over and around us lies." So I was being drawn to this particular way of relating to God. And so a year ago, when it was I was facing into retiring after 26 years of working in a job that was really meaningful to me, I felt like I really wanted to mark this transition. And I decided that what I'd really like to do would be to do a Celtic retreat in Ireland. So I looked online and I found this woman that did Celtic retreats for individuals. I invited Jim to come along. He agreed to come along. So we headed off to Ireland, kind of not knowing what to expect. There was some trepidation of, is this going to be really weird? I mean, it's just the two of us and this woman, and I don't know about her. But it felt like a little bit of step of faith. And I can vividly remember the first morning when Jim and I met with Mary. You know, if you call a woman, you see a woman in Ireland, you call her name Mary, you'll be right half the time. Mary was just kind of immediately felt a warmth and connection to her. And we sat down in this little room, and there was a picture window overlooking the Wicklow Mountains, and there was the ruins of a 5th century monastery. So it's a nice setting, right? It was a lovely setting. She sat down, we did an introduction, she lit a candle. And then she read a blessing, which I later learned was written by Father John O'Donohue. When I came home, I bought pretty much every book that O'Donohue wrote. But this blessing is how she started our time together. "Blessed be the longing that brought you here and quickens your soul with wonder. May you have the wisdom to enter generously into your own unease, to discover the new direction your longing wants to take you." And I started to weep. And this blessing goes on. It just felt like every line was speaking to me. It was doing what Jim talks about in blessing, that there was a connection that I experienced with God. The words had meaning to me. They were like they were being spoken to me. And I was like, it's going to be okay. God is in the house. There was just that real sense of presence. And in fact, the remainder of the 3 days, the subsequent time in Ireland, were all very blessed. And and it's been very helpful for me in making this transition. And I came home with a desire to learn more, to learn more particularly about blessing, because as Mary taught us, as we experienced, blessing is very much at the heart of Celtic spirituality, as it's at the heart of Christianity and of the Old Testament, of Judaism. But it's something I feel like I had not had a lot of experience with. So as I studied, as I read, I read Donohue in this book. Not only he talks about what blessing is, but he also gives a lot of example. He's a poet, so he writes these beautiful blessings. He says, "What is blessing? A blessing is a circle of light drawn around a person to protect, heal, and strengthen." So this image of blessing being a protective circle of light around people I love and care about, people I worry about, people who are sick or sad or lonely or depressed or who are just facing a transition in their life, I've prayed for them, but I've started to pray differently. I'm working to imagine holding them in the center of God's light and love. I imagine that the blessing that I pray becomes a protective circle of light. Sometimes I find a blessing that O'Donohue has written, and I will pray it for them. Sometimes I write it out and share it for a friend far away who was going through cancer treatment and in a really difficult time. There's a lovely blessing he's written for suffering. May you be blessed in the holy names of those who, without you knowing it, help to carry and lighten your pain. May you know serenity when you are called to enter the house of suffering. May a window of light always surprise you. Jim was talking about language, the power of language, that may a window of light always surprise you. I actually copied this, printed it out, and sent it to my friend overseas, who responded immediately and said, I've been reading O'Donohue, and the blessings have been so meaningful to me. Clearly had an impact on her. You notice that the language of blessing often includes the word may, as in the Numbers scripture Jim talked about, may Yahweh bless you and keep you. O'Donohue says that the word may imagines the fulfillment of desire. The word may is a spring through which the Holy Spirit is invoked. And so how have I been impacted by trying to change the way I pray and to have it's in addition to other ways that I pray. What I've noticed is that in the past or in the present, when I start to pray somebody for someone that I'm worried about, this is what my face looks like. I'm the furrowed brow, the tenseness, the kind of a little bit of freneticness or desperation. But I notice that especially when I'm reading the prayers of blessing that someone else has written so I don't have to work, right? When I read them, that my posture is more like this, that there is a peacefulness, a calm, and an openness to God's presence and a trust and a sense that it's going to be okay. Even in the midst, whether it's in suffering or transition, that God's got this. And my role is to believe that God's got this, to hold that person where they sense that God's got this, and to communicate to them that I believe that they are being held and in the presence of God. Does this make a difference for the people that I hold like this? I believe that it does. I was with my sister on vacation in early July, and she was going through a really difficult time, and her life was, she was really challenged. She didn't know what she was gonna go home to, and we sat with her and prayed with her, sort of. She's not sure where she's at spiritually these days. Listened, cried with her, and when she left, my heart was just heavy, so I sat down in my journal, I wrote a blessing for her, and tried to follow the kind of the May God, the way Donohue talks about it, and I prayed that for her, and after she went home, I actually wrote it down and sent it to her, and she called me soon after she got the what I'd written to her, and she thanked me, and she said, they're really better at home. I think it's going to be okay. Now what role did my blessing have? I don't know, but I believe that God was active in her life, whatever she called God and however she believed about it, that somehow that act of blessing her, and she said, I have your blessing sitting by my nightstand, and I look at it every night when I go to bed. Jesus, when he prayed, clearly had a connection to God. Jesus prayed in a way that made his disciples come and say, teach us to do that. Show us how to do that. And Jesus gave them some words. Our Father who art in heaven. So that's what I feel like learning about blessing has done for me. That it's expanded my vocabulary of prayer. And what an exciting thing that, after how many years, long time of walking with Jesus, we're all continuing to learn to pray, to connect with God, and to be a blessing to others. So that's my story.
When Jesus sat with his disciples, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it, and said, This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Took the cup of wine, which Paul later writes about the cup and says, this cup of blessing which we bless, isn't it a sharing in the life of Christ? The bread which we break, isn't it a sharing in the body of Christ? Blessing never stops. The words never stop. Everyone who's written in the Bible writes about blessing, and it's something for us to open our hearts to learn more about as we share now in communion. Oh, Lord, bless this bread and this wine, or our representation of it. May it be for us communion with your life, a drinking deep of your life. May it be for us a realization of how we are in your image and one with you and brothers and sisters with one another. Amen.